and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. President Trump is praising the stopgap spending bill House Republicans have unveiled a week before the deadline to avert a government shutdown. The bill would increase spending on defense and veterans' health. Trump is urging all Republicans on Capitol Hill to unify and approve the measure. Vermont Democratic Senator Bernie Sanders is blasting the Trump administration. More from CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Senator Sanders brought his Fighting Oligarchy tour to Kenosha, Wisconsin last night.
For years, I have been talking about how America has been moving toward an oligarchy. Well, we're no longer moving toward that oligarchy. Today, we are living in that oligarchy.
Sanders criticized the president and Republicans for pushing for a budget with massive tax breaks for the wealthiest while cutting Medicaid, nutrition programs, and education.
Sanders' tour has drawn large crowds, so he added more stops. President Trump has paused the 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada for a month, but Ontario Premier Doug Ford says Trump can't be trusted. He wants all the tariffs dropped. More from CBS's Ed O'Keefe in Toronto.
If he doesn't drop them for good, Ford says Ontario, which transmits electricity to the United States, will put a 25% tariff on power sent to Minnesota, Michigan, and New York starting Monday.
Canada has kept its retaliatory tariffs against the U.S. in effect. CBS News has learned the Department of Health and Human Services allowed associates of DOGE to access a child support database that contains sensitive personal information. People upset with DOGE and Elon Musk have been protesting at Tesla showrooms across the country.
If he does
fought his way into office,
if he doesn't drop
heading a government agency, he bought his power at the expense of the American people, at the expense of our environment, at the expense of our world and all of the people in it.
That woman was at a protest at the Tesla showroom in downtown Manhattan, where police made several arrests. A 14-year-old has been charged with murder in Newark, New Jersey, after a shooting last night left one police officer dead and another wounded. Here's Mayor Ross Baraka.
Making sure that our children are not handling guns in the street, shooting at police officers. This is not a police problem. This is our problem.
The teen suspect was also shot, but is expected to survive. Three masked men opened fire at a pub in Toronto, injuring a dozen people. Toronto Police Superintendent Paul McIntyre.
One male was armed with what appears to be an assault rifle. The other two males were armed with handguns. And they walked into the bar, they produced their guns, and they opened fire.
So far, police have made no arrests. The gunmen are still on the run. All of the victims are expected to survive. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about going fast. Don't blink, you might miss it. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Abortion is currently legal in Wisconsin. A judge made that ruling in 2023, about a year after Roe v. Wade was overturned. While some states have added abortion rights to their constitutions, others have enacted strict abortion bans. New research shows when states have these bans in place, it hurts their economy. Mike Moen reports.
The Institute for Women's Policy Research is out with a new study that includes survey data from 10,000 adults. The authors say one in five respondents planning to have children has moved or know someone who has to another state because of reproductive care restrictions in their current location. The Institute's Melissa Mahoney says it shows banned states will likely see some of their workforce talent flow elsewhere.
The labor markets in states that protect abortion tend to be more welcoming for women with higher wages, greater access to health insurance, also a stronger labor force participation.
These findings mirror results from a similar study issued earlier this year by the National Bureau of Economic Research. Mahoney says their research indicates it isn't just a problem for state policymakers. She notes that businesses should also be worried about a talent drain, with survey respondents wanting them to prioritize care access.
Many, in addition, are asking more of their employers in terms of reproductive health care benefits, in terms of speaking out against abortion restrictions in their states.
According to the findings, 57% of respondents say they're more likely to apply for or accept a job with reproductive health care benefits as part of the offer. And in South Dakota, 65% of adults think employers should provide financial assistance for child care.
That's Mike Moen reporting, and I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 20s. More sunshine than clouds for tomorrow and even warmer. Highs in the upper 50s. The warmth continues into next week. Highs well into the 40s and 50s, even a few days in the 60s. Currently 49 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I've got an off day coming up, but don't worry. We've got you covered. We'll be chatting with Mark Pocan at 3 o'clock about the Elon Act. Do we really want billionaire overlords controlling our government?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. On Up North News with Pat Kreitlow this week, he welcomed on Laura Bird, an author and proponent of book clubs. They chat less about book recommendations and more about the community that you can find in a good book club.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio. It is 7:35 on this Monday morning, March 3rd, and it's always fun every couple of weeks or so to shift gears and welcome in author Laura Ann Bird to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club. Laura, good morning. Yes. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Nice to see you again.
Nice to be back.
You seem to be as enthusiastic as anybody I've ever met about book clubs, whether it's, finding one or starting one.
It's a great thing to be a part of, and it gets you reading more.
It also is the kind of thing that can come in all shapes and sizes. You mm-hmm. co-founded something called the Great Midwest Book Group, which I'm guessing is more than, a half a dozen people, gathered around a coffee table someplace.
Yeah, so great segue. So I wanted to just talk really nuts and bolts here, and then I'll get a little more spicy as we go along. But, if you want to be in a book group, there are really two ways to do it. There's online and there's in person. And like I was saying, I think online since the pandemic has really taken off in popularity. And I co-founded the Great Midwest Book Group with a friend of mine in Indiana, like you just alluded to. And we meet quarterly. We meet on Zoom. We send out the Zoom link. We always feature Midwestern authors and books. And in fact, we're meeting on April 8th at 7 p.m. Central. Track us down on Facebook or Instagram at Great Midwest Book Group. I will send you the link so that you can join us. No pressure. You don't have to finish the book. You don't even have to read the book. But we are reading The Snowbirds by Christina Clancy, a great Wisconsin writer. And she will actually be joining us for the discussion. So it's a great way to talk with her, ask questions. It's really fun, and we're open to anyone. So that's my shameless plug for Great Midwest Book Group.
That's fine. That's wonderful. So you want to talk a bit more about either finding an existing book group or mm-hmm. even thinking of starting one on your own?
Absolutely. So the first resource I give people is bookclubs.com. This is a great resource. You can go online and search for an existing book group, whether it's virtual or whether it's in person in your neck of the woods. There are great discussion questions at this website. And if you're kind of in charge of a book group, it's a great way to track details for your own book club. Like you can have all your members in there, you can message them, you can track what you've read, everybody's ratings of it. It's really a great tool. So I highly suggest that. One thing I want to talk about too, really quick, are some fun trends around book groups, kind of thinking mm-hmm. out of the box here. This one is riveting. So there is this new thing and it's gaining popularity and it's called a silent book club. And you can check out details at silentbook.club. There are 17 chapters in Wisconsin alone, and this number doubled during 2024. I know that there's one in Madison, which is where I live. I haven't been yet, but I want to check it out, because what you do is you go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You just show up with whatever book you're reading. You say hi, and then everybody sits for an hour in companionable silence. And then when the hour's up, then people close their books and you have great discussions about what you're reading. And so you walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading. So check out the Facebook page for silentbook.club is where you find it. Also check out your local indie shop, because there are indie shops that host silent book clubs. I know for a fact that Arcadia Books in Spring Green and Blue House Books in Kenosha both host chapters of the silent book group right there on site. And it's a win-win for all. It gets people out in the community, you know, the bookshops make sales. It's a great way to meet people. And it's nice for introverts, because you can kind of just sit there and read quietly. I think that's pretty cool.
There is just no shortage of ways that this can specialize, whether, like, yes, you said, it's by trends or, you know, the places that you go, things like that. Yeah. You could even do, you know, like field trips, yes, for example, come to mind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I live, like I said, in Madison. And one of the bookshops here in Madison is Leopold's Books Bar Cafe. And they have an adorable book nook. And I know that there are other shops with similar sort of setups. And you can rent this space or reserve this space for a pretty nominal fee, if not free, depending on what your bar tab is there. But it's a great way to get out and, you know, take your book club on the road. To that end, when I was doing some research for this segment, there is a book group in Chicago called Read and Run, Pat, and they read the book ahead of time, and then they meet and jog while discussing the book. So I'm not sure that would appeal to me so much. I do like to run, but probably not while discussing books.
No. But so can I ask a bit about, I don't know, maybe etiquette is the right word or something, if it is or not. I mean, it would seem to me that there are some book clubs that are, shall we say, more serious or hardcore than others. Mm-hmm. Others are very loose, like maybe not everybody has read the book. So it could be possible that a book club you might discover isn't the right fit for you. Either they are very rigid in their reading requirements, it's almost like homework, or they're too loose, they're too social, mm-hmm, rather than focusing on the book. So, I mean, you don't have to feel like you're tied down.
Right. Well, that is a great point. And I've been in a lot of different book clubs with varying degrees of no judgment. Like, if you just want to sit, if you want to sit with some friends and drink wine and not really discuss the book, that's totally fine. I think it's just finding like-minded people and making sure you're all on the same page and that you're all coming at it with the same expectation, because that can be really the death knell for a book club. I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, especially in this, you know, politically charged environment, mm-hmm, as well. I mean, for some folks, book club is just kind of the name they give to more of a discussion club that gets into current events and news. And for other people, right, this really is meant to be their escape. And so, mm-hmm, again, you don't want to necessarily put shackles on anybody or on any club, but it probably is a good idea to kind of set whatever the ground rules are going to be for maybe, yeah, discussion topics, or what would you call it? Your mission statement or your philosophy of, right, the club is just to know what you are.
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. And I think it needs to be done so that everyone's on the same page when they show up. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let's see. You mentioned a few other resources, yeah, as well here that people can go to. We talked about the Silent Book Club. Mm-hmm. There's a subscription service out of New York, I guess. Open Book Club NYC. Is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay.
I found out about this. It's a real life book club. They meet in person in New York City, but they have a dedicated Substack following. So you can find them at openbookclubnyc.substack.com. And what they do is they just started a snail mail club, which I think is really interesting. So for $15 a month, they will send you their book of the month, and then everyone's reading it, you know, wherever they live across the country, and you can join into the discussion on their Substack. So I think that's a pretty cool thing. It's very low stakes. And again, it's great if you're an introvert, you know, you can just kind of pop in when you want to. It's not face-to-face necessarily.
Well, and that is, by the way, it raises the question of book availability, because sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, people have had a tough time. They think they're going to get it at their local library, but maybe two or three people are already on the list to get it. Yeah. And so I guess this is where we'd put in our usual pitch about, you know, easy ways to get books through bookshop.org.
Absolutely. I love bookshop.org. I feel like I'm a walking advertisement for them. I swear I don't get any money from bookshop.org. But what you can do is when you go online, you can use their store finder and locate an independent bookstore that you want to support. And then a part of your sale goes to that bookstore. So it's a really great resource. And the cool thing is now they just started carrying ebooks, which is like huge news. That's a great thing.
There's ebooks and there's mm-hmm. audiobooks. And everybody thinks that, well, an ebook means you have to have a Kindle and an Amazon subscription. Right. That ain't necessarily so.
Right. So I should just say I am not an e-reader. I always have the hard copy of a book. I prefer that. If you do have a Kindle, you could consider ditching it because Kindle only lets you read content purchased on Amazon. So if you find a different e-reader, there are a lot of different ways then that you can purchase titles. Gloss and Fable are two of them. Fable.co and Gloss, G-L-O-S-E.com. So this just allows you to kind of break out of that Amazon bubble.
Well, that was, you anticipated my next question was
also,
whether...
Also, I should say,
yes.
You can use... There you go. Yep.
Yep.
You can also use Libby. That is a free app. LibbyApp.com, and that allows you to enjoy ebooks from your local library. All you need is a library card, but you need that app, Libby.
Wow. Well, so that was going to be my next point was, and you mentioned it already, that you are not particularly mm-hmm. an ebook reader. Not that you're dissuading anybody, but that is your preference, is to have that book right in your hand.
Absolutely. As long as you're reading, that's what I care about. You know, if it adds a few pounds to your suitcase, it's worth it. Yeah.
That sounds great. And so again, for folks that might've missed it at the start of things where we talked about all the different book groups that are out there, but yes, starting your own, the resources are there mm-hmm. and you can really tailor it to whatever works best for you and your friends. Mm-hmm. And I mean, how do you get the word? Do you necessarily urge everybody to put their book club on social media to try to get a whole bunch of strangers in there and grow the group, or just keep it close?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I'm in a book group that's with women in my neighborhood, and we switch houses each month, and who's ever hosting picks the book and provides snacks and wine. That we don't need social media for that. That's just a really intimate thing with friends and neighbors. The Great Midwest Book Group that I do online, that's different. I mean, that's a way of really bringing in a lot of people to celebrate Midwestern authors.
There's so much out there. Yeah. And again, the website that you mentioned that you could check out is bookclubs.com to learn mm-hmm. all about it. Laura Ann Bird, this was mm-hmm. great. We all need a break. We need a break from social media. We need a break from the news headlines for a little bit before we come back in and be informed about the world all over again. But we need the escape that books provide. And we're so thankful that you keep coming in and telling us more.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Sorry about the Wi-Fi issues. I'm cursed,
okay.
I guess. I don't know.
No. We're fine. It's that's modern technology. Another thing we need to escape with a book now and then. Thank you, Laura.
Exactly.
Thanks, Pat. You bet. Have a wonderful day. And when we come back, we'll talk about what's coming up on Matinair On Air, which follows on weekday mornings here across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we will wrap things up with Mr. Bach as well right after this, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we head up to Green Bay for Mino and the Mayor. Jim and John this week welcomed on Will Koken from HOOA, also known as H-O-O-A-H, to discuss what you can do this week for Invest in Veterans Week.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS. And, of course, the Civic Media app coming your way from Oshkosh, Appleton, and Green Bay. And I got to tell you, I just ran out of here to go grab my phone that I'd left. It is nasty, icky out there. It is raining sleet. It is icky. That's a meteorological term. Yeah, it is very icky out there. Yes, we'll go fishing.
It kind of is. I mean, it's a little sleet. A little snow and
crappy. Yeah. This week is Invest in Veterans Week. And joining us right now, one of my favorite veterans of all time, Will Koken. Will, how you doing, my brother?
I would be doing better if it wasn't for this weather you were just talking about.
Isn't it?
I think that's the same way as everybody.
It is just nasty. Did you have to drive today to where you work?
I did. We were actually talking about this yesterday, and I was like, if people want a vacation in Wisconsin, this is an experience all of Wisconsin. I was like, this is the type of week they should show up for, because they get all four seasons of Wisconsin packed into like 3 days.
Isn't that crazy? 55 in a couple of days? Unreal. Well, Will, tell everybody what your history is in the military, which continues in very admirable fashion.
Yeah, so I have about 22 years of total service, with 18 of those on the active duty side. And then I've also founded and continue to be involved in what is now HOOA Wisconsin, which stands for Helping Out Our American Heroes. It's a nonprofit that spans across all of Wisconsin.
Outstanding. And when we talk about this Invest in Veterans Week, how can we? I mean, you're still in the military. You help these young military personnel, soldiers all the time. What can we do to invest in veterans?
Yeah, so there's as you know, firsthand with everything you've done as well, there is a ton of ways to do that. It's not just when you think of invest, it's not just investing financially, which is a mechanism to do so. But it's more important is investing your time. And that is, you know, simply reaching out to veterans, seeing how they're doing, things that you could potentially do for them and or for the community as a whole. But really, it just comes down to a small sacrifice of your time of just picking up the phone this week or ideally every day this week and calling a veteran that you know, as most of us are connected to them, or finding a veteran. It's not that hard to find them. And just spending some time getting to know them and seeing how life is at this current time. That's the best way to really invest in a veteran and in their mental health.
I think that's great advice in that it doesn't really cost you dollars. And even if it's someone that might be a neighbor that you don't know them real well, they still like – people like good conversation, and they're all going to ask about you as well. But, you know, if there's someone that has someone they haven't seen for a while, or an uncle that's been, you haven't seen them for a couple of years, just pick up the phone and call them this week. This is a good week to, like you said, reach out and get something going.
I'm good friends with folks that do Vets and Friends in Appleton, Will.
Yeah.
It's a free breakfast on Friday, Thursday or Friday mornings. I can't remember now. In Appleton, and then they used to do one on Saturdays as well. But they contacted me the other day, and they said, John, we heard you were thinking about trying to do something like that up in Green Bay. And I said, well, not every week, but maybe once a month, starting next month. They said, absolutely. So Jim's facility.
I have to get permission. No, but yeah,
would be ideal.
We could do that. There's great parking. We have an awesome, unbelievable kitchen.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And it would be free breakfast for the veterans once a month. I think that'd be awesome, don't you?
I agree. It would be awesome. That has happened a few times, and there's just never been a leader to keep it consistent.
Yeah.
And every time it's had a solid turnout and just tons of smiles and people reconnecting. It's always funny when you walk in a room and as soon as a guy says, like, I'm a veteran, and you're like, oh, I'm a veteran. Yeah. And then it's just like cluck, 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 right? And they're just constantly sharing their stories for the next 45 minutes. That's what you see and experience at those breakfast things, is that, like, just a bunch of people, and it could be a Vietnam vet with a modern Iraq Afghanistan vet.
We had
just having a great time sharing stories.
We had one guy who was 101 years old. He was a B-24 gunner in World War II on unbelievable raids, sitting there with about a 22-year-old, you know, Afghanistan-type vet. That, to me, is like, oh, man, you talk about capture this moment in time. World War II veteran, 100 years old, and this young, you know, in his 20s, Afghanistan vet.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's one of the coolest things I see is they still have similar stories, and it's just awesome to watch both of those individuals just smile and laugh and tell stories about the same experiences that they shared in the military.
Outstanding.
And that I just want to go back to this Veterans Week, and I think we think about things a lot. Well, this is the week to do it, right? And when you talk about reaching out and grabbing that cup of coffee, I wasn't right. Sorry about that. I'm going to throw it back on the McDonald's thing. Whataburger offers free coffee to veterans and active military duty every day. And these other places that do, they're not really in Green Bay. Do we have a Casey's in Green Bay?
Never heard of it.
No.
Do we have a Whataburger?
We do have Casey's in Oshkosh.
Okay.
Though.
Oh, really? Yep.
So Casey's offers free coffee, fountain drinks to veterans year-round.
Yep.
So Casey's is pretty popular. I mean, they're in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Obviously they're in Oshkosh.
Is it a hamburger type place?
No,
it's
no,
like
a convenience station.
It's kind of a 7-Eleven, but,
okay.
You know, maybe a little.
Okay, cool.
But these other ones, I don't, you know.
We don't have a Whataburger, do we?
No, yeah, we do.
We did over at the mall.
Yeah,
I'm not sure
it's
still there.
Yeah. Closed.
Yeah. I think it closed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dang.
I think we had one in the downtown mall, which was really cool.
No, it was not in. That was Wahlburger that was in the mall.
No, that mall was McDonald's. I was like, I've seen two McDonald's close in my life.
Oh, my God.
And John's like, well, you should have saved them all. I had two McDonald's close in my life. One was in Philly. I went out there with a friend of mine, burned out cars. It's just, and then I saw a closed McDonald's. The other one I saw was Green Bay, Wisconsin, the downtown mall. So that just tells you how well that mall was doing when I closed it. John's like, well, you should have done that.
Maybe it had some support from the mayor's office. I'd still be eating my big cookie and my orange Julius.
Yeah, you couldn't buy enough Big Macs to keep that open.
All right. So, Will, what's the state of the military right now?
I think pretty good. But that's just my opinion from the purview that I have here in the Wisconsin National Guard. But we personally, from my organization, I have a ton of motivated individuals that are excited to do their different jobs in the military, and it's great to see. There's a ton of good camaraderie. We've been really focused the last few years on this building the team approach or building this camaraderie and making sure that everybody feels like they're a significant part of the organization, and you can see it paying off in the culture. So I think when you look at the levels that you're able to see personally, I think it's very strong.
And our country, support-wise?
Yeah, there's not a place I go when I'm in uniform that somebody doesn't thank me for my service. Or if they know, like, our especially in our community, I think, is like the greatest group of military supporters I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
You look at what organizations like Old Glory Honor Flight, when they land a plane at Appleton Airport, is slam-packed with people. And I look at, like, when we host the Rock, KI can barely fit people inside of its doors. It's so busy. And so I think that the support for in our local community for veterans is just astronomical. As far as countrywide, I'm not everywhere, so I can't speak to it with any sort of education. But I can say the places that I travel and the areas that I choose to live and reside and visit frequently.
That's great to hear.
A ton of military support. Yeah.
And a shout out to the schools too. The University of Wisconsin Green Bay does a big outreach program and at NWTC. Yep. So you're right. The community here is very engaged and rightfully so.
Will Koken, you're the best. Fourth UWA. Thanks for what you do, my brother. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you, guys.
You're the best, Will. We got to set a quick break at 8:34. Tony Giese, Heritage Auctions. Extremely interesting.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is applauding House Republicans for the stopgap spending bill they've come up with to avert a government shutdown next week. In Baltimore, Maryland Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen addressed a Day of Action to Save Medicare rally.
Keep your hands off Medicare!
Trump's on again, off again. Tariffs are causing headaches for the nation's farmers. At a farmer's market in San Francisco, Joel Aguayo says he's trying to keep his prices down while his expenses are soaring.
I feel like once the prices go up, they're never going to come back down. And it's not like we can jump the price on produce because then the people won't be able to afford it.
A 14-year-old is charged with murder and attempted murder after allegedly shooting two police officers in Newark, New Jersey last night. Essex County Prosecutor Theodore Stevens.
5-year veteran Officer Joseph Azcana was shot before he even had the opportunity to leave his police car.
The 14-year-old was also shot and is expected to survive. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts.